Republicans in the U.S. House are hoping to use a debt ceiling increase to cut federal funding with a looming deadline that could threaten the global economy. Meanwhile, Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar was removed from the House Foreign Affairs Committee in a party-line vote, and Republican committees are kicking off a wave of investigations. We're rounding up some of the big stories in the Congress, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. Debt ceiling. Do you want to see a negotiation of some sort? Do you want spending cuts as part of the debt ceiling increase, or should that be clean as the White House wants? Make those negotiations later. Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Lisa Mascaro is an Associated Press Chief Congressional Correspondent. Lisa, welcome back to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Pretty good. Well, let's start with this debt ceiling. First, give us a quick 101 reminder. What is this debt ceiling? Why would it need to be increased?
Yes, exactly. You know, this used to be a sort of routine vote in Congress, but over the past, decade or so, it has just become a very political, very treacherous sort of endeavor. What it is the Congress says how much the government can borrow each year to pay off the bills that it's already accrued, the money that's already been spent. We borrow a lot. Americans, as part of our government, we borrow a lot. We pay a lot of money every year to pay down our debt. And that amount, we're coming up against the limits of that. It's a sort of staggering number, $31 trillion, right? That's how much we are allowed to take out in indebtedness. But that needs to be lifted again, or the country won't be able to continue paying on the bills that it's already, you know, that are already due. So this vote comes to Congress, and it used to be sort of routine, but now it's often been used, particularly by Republicans, as a leveraging tool to get some of the changes in federal spending that they prefer. We saw this about a decade ago when the Tea Party Republicans came to Congress, and they really pushed then President Obama into negotiations to try to form spending cuts, sort of dollar for dollar spending cuts, you know, for every dollar more in debt, we'll have a dollar of cuts in federal funding. Those negotiations went on, and they made some progress, but ultimately, you know, these are very difficult decisions. But here we are again. New Republican majority is very eager to confront Democrats and President Biden and try to initiate another round of negotiations to trim back federal spending before giving the vote to raise the debt ceiling.
Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and President Biden met last Wednesday to talk about this debt ceiling thing. I want to give a listen to Speaker McCarthy after that meeting.
We both laid out some of our vision of where we'd want to get to. And I believe after laying both of out, I can see where we can find common ground. There's nothing in there but me walking away that does not believe at the end of the day we can come to an agreement that makes America stronger, puts us on a path to balance, and exactly what the American people are asking us to do.
Now, these are two key figures here. We've got the Democratic-controlled Senate, Republican-controlled House, Democratic White House. And I think I've seen the Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell saying, yeah, this is between McCarthy, Speaker McCarthy, and President Biden, basically. Why are these two kind of the key players in negotiating this debt ceiling?
Yes, it's an absolutely interesting political dynamic. In the past, Leader McConnell over in the Senate has brokered deals with President Biden on these very same fiscal topics. This time, he's really stepping aside and letting the new Republican House Speaker, Kevin McCarthy, and the new House Republican majority take the lead. McConnell, he's a seasoned leader. He knows that these negotiations are difficult, and he's in the minority over in the Senate. So he really wants to see what the House Republicans can do, what they can get Biden to agree to, if anything, before he sort of sticks his own neck out, you know, in his political fortunes and tries to cut a deal that, you know, may or may not be accepted by anyone. So it's really up to right now that Republican Speaker McCarthy and President Joe Biden to see if they can find, any common ground. This is the very, very beginning of negotiations. All of this doesn't really come to a head until summer, when the Treasury Department says, you know, that will be the inflection point. That will be the time when the government will really need to have that vote and ensure our creditors that we're good for our bills and we can continue paying our bills and that we won't have any default on our debt.
Talking to Lisa Mascaro, congressional correspondent for the Associated Press, looking at the big news in Congress this session, including the debt ceiling we're talking about now. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should Congress just straight up vote to boost the debt ceiling, or do you want to see negotiations to cut overall spending for the future before we agree to pay the bills of our past? What do you want to see Congress focusing on in terms of policy, investigations and oversight of the White House? You name it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Lisa, some Democrats in Congress have been saying, well, McCarthy and the Republicans don't seem to have a plan, a starting point of negotiations. Do we have an indication from the Republican, the narrow Republican majority, of what kind of cuts they'd like to see in this process?
Right. This is where it gets difficult. You know, folks often say, yeah, let's make these cuts. We can find, you know, waste. We can find abuses in the system. We can find programs that, you know, people don't care about anymore. But when it really comes down to it, it's very difficult to find the cuts. And Speaker McCarthy knows, you know, he has a very slim majority in the House. So even getting all his Republicans in line, on board, on an overall plan will be a sort of Herculean effort. Now, he's going to try to do that. And there are a number of Republicans talking. There's, you know, many, Speaker McCarthy has said, look, the entitlement programs, especially for the older Americans, the Social Security and the Medicare programs, let's take those off the table. Okay, what about defense? Well, maybe there's some extra in defense that could be trimmed. Even those two starting points, not everyone's in agreement on that. Some people would like to see some trim backs in those entitlement programs. Some Republicans would like to preserve no cuts to defense. So we'll see what they can come up with. It's not impossible, but that will be sort of the task in the weeks ahead, to see what they can bring to Biden. And, you know, President Biden and the Democrats have sort of started this conversation saying, no, we don't really want to negotiate at all. But Biden has had this first meeting and they've agreed to have a second meeting. And so we'll see if they can start having that conversation.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Marty is with us in Palmyra. Marty, hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Hashtag hypocrisy. George Bush handed a $1 trillion deficit to President Obama at that time. Now Trump has handed a $1.3 or $4 trillion deficit to Biden. How did that occur? Now all of a sudden Republicans are worried about spending and spending cuts. Thank you.
Marty, thanks a lot for the call. I think whether you see one side or another to be the blame, it seems like if you're out of power, if you don't control the White House, your party is really interested in cutting the deficit. When you're in power, maybe not so much. Lisa, is that unfair of me to say?
Well, you know, I will say debt has risen steadily over the years. You know, it's been since the Clinton era that we last had a balanced budget in, I think, 2000. And, you know, deficits and debt has grown since then, first under then President George Bush, you know, with the wars overseas, then, of course, during the Obama era with the Great Recession and all the government spending. It has steadily risen. And, you know, I will say Democrats tend to want to sort of increase, you know, the programs, and Republicans tend to want to cut them. So that seems to be where it falls on the party lines.
We're talking to Lisa Mascaro, Associated Press Chief Congressional Correspondent in Washington, D.C., about what's going on in Congress this session, including so far we've been talking about the debt ceiling coming up, some controversy over who gets to be on what committees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see come out of Congress on the debt ceiling and when? Have you been paying attention to a story from our neighboring state? Representative Ilhan Omar, removed from a foreign affairs committee in the House. Join in at 800-642-1234. What do you want to see Congress do this year? 800-642-1234. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Lisa Mascaro, Associated Press Chief Congressional Correspondent, looking at the latest news in Congress, the big issues, debt ceiling, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Lisa, before we go back to our callers, I mentioned just before the break there, Ilhan Omar, representative from Minnesota, removed from the House Foreign Affairs Committee, party line vote by the House as a whole. What led to that removal?
Right. You know, this is, again, an example of the way Congress has just escalated sort of the tensions and the differences. What happened with Representative Omar is a reflection of this growing sort of partisanship. She came to Congress in the new class of 2019. She's a Somali immigrant, came to this country with her family as a young person, settled in Minnesota, and got herself elected to Congress. When she arrived, she had made comments that were considered anti-Semitic. She had views about Israel that were very much concerning to her colleagues on both sides of the aisle. She has since apologized for those comments and said she's learning more and needs to be mindful. But it really stuck with Republicans that she should not be able to serve on the House Foreign Affairs Committee. And they voted to remove her. This, in many ways, was seen as an escalation, even perhaps a payback from what happened in the previous Congress when Democrats had the majority, and they made moves to oust the far-right Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia from her committees, and then later Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona, the Republican who had both those Republicans had made incendiary comments, Marjorie Taylor Greene making hers before she was elected, and again, Congressman Gosar, after he was already elected, he had posted a video, a violent video, going after another, where he was seen basically killing another member of Congress, the outspoken liberal Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The Democrats removed both of those Republicans for their committees, saying they were sort of extremist members and did not have have a home in the House under Democratic rule. Well, Republicans took this action against Omar, but you know it's been a little trickier this time because Representative Omar has a lot of support now. She has apologized for her actions. She is, you know, a Black woman, an immigrant, a Muslim American. There are only two Muslim American women in Congress. And so it has taken on just a more tense tone here. So we'll see. This is likely to stand, this ouster. She's still able to serve on her other committees. But she, in a very emotional floor speech, very fiery floor speech, said, you know, she would not be silenced and that she would carry her message forward. You know, this all comes at a time of sort of increasingly sort of strained relations in the U.S. over some of the work in Israel that's happening among politics there. So I think it's just really something to watch to see how this continues to play out in the Congress. But I will say it's just been a very difficult chapter, it seems, for all involved, because it shows these just sort of escalating tensions across the aisle between Democrats and Republicans and how they are able to resolve, you know, their differences here, even on these kinds of matters, you know, among their own colleagues, among their own lawmakers.
We're looking at some of the big stories in Congress with Lisa Mascaro from the Associated Press. We have a couple more callers on debt ceiling related issues. Margie is with us in Milwaukee. Margie, hello.
Hi. I am totally against any kind of compromise on the debt ceiling. Those are debts that we've already incurred, and the banks would never let me go in and change my debt requirements. It's just something you can't do. And but if it goes forward and they want to reduce, decrease entitlements, they really should look first at the entitlements that we're still giving to the major oil companies and other corporations that don't deserve them. They've been carried along for a long, long time. And the Social Security and Medicare, we've paid into that through our whole working lives. That's something that was established for security of older age, and that's something that should stay.
Margie, thanks for the call. A couple things there, Lisa. First of all, Margie's last point, looking at Social Security and Medicaid. What's the latest on whether those would be part of debt ceiling negotiations, at least as far as what we're hearing from especially House Republican leadership?
Yes. House Speaker McCarthy has said more than a week ago now that both Medicare, the healthcare program for older Americans, and Social Security, which of course is the retirement program, retirement income program, would be off the table, that those would not be subject to potential reductions during these negotiations. Now, I will just say, not all Republicans feel that way. So Speaker McCarthy is leading his party, saying that won't be on the table, but, you know, he does have to make sure he has everyone behind him. Medicaid, you know, which is the other health care program for those in need, often women, children, you know, that's a different topic. Mm-hmm. It is an entitlement program, and one that Republicans have been eager to sort of trim back, or especially with the expansion of Medicaid and some of the states during the Obamacare expansions, the Affordable Care Act. That's something that might be in the sights. So that program, which is not for the older Americans, but for other Americans who are in need, you know, many of them working Americans, that, you know, could potentially be something that is subject to cuts. So I think the other thing just to remember is that, you know, when you sort of take those automatic programs off the table, what's left is really a much smaller sort of menu of options to cut. You know, it's either the defense or the non-defense accounts, and it does become just very difficult to find where they can cut. But we'll see. You know, maybe they'll be able to find some programs that all sides can kind of say, you know, sure, we could trim this back a little or not let it grow as much in the future. You know, there might be some areas that have been able, they could sort of phase out, but those are going to be very difficult conversations to come.
And Lisa, just briefly, I want to get to one or two more issues. Republican
Sure.
committees in the House expected to do lots of oversight and investigations of various sorts related to the White House and I think COVID and more. What do you have your eye on for the sorts of things they'll be digging into?
Oh, my goodness. So many investigations. And we're really trying to get our heads around, you know, which ones to watch, which ones are going to be the most important. Republicans, so far, their legislative agenda is not robust. They don't have a lot of bills for the floor. They're not rolling out a lot of legislative proposals. What they do seem to be focused on right now is this oversight arena, and that is across the board, everything from President Biden, his son Hunter Biden, his family, to, you know, more specifically governmental operations. This week there will be hearings about the border, the southern border with Mexico, continued hearings about COVID and how the COVID dollars were spent during the crisis. And there's just a lot coming in this oversight and investigation arena. So we're going to be kind of trying to watch all of it and see what seems to be the most relevant, the most interesting, you know, what they're going to really dig down on and what might be sort of, you know, a couple hearings and then moving on. So it's a little bit hard to tell right now which of those will be, you know, really the ones to watch.
Another story you reported on last month that's still ongoing, this New York representative, George Santos, one is a Republican there. Long story short, it seems like everything he said about his life and resume was not true on the way in. What is going on with the latest on how he's being treated in the House, if he's on committees, if he's facing legal consequences?
Yeah, Mr. Santos was on the floor of the House this morning delivering a speech, just like any other member of the House. He doesn't seem to have a lot of allies and colleagues beside him in Congress, but he is marshaling on despite all of these questions swirling around him. He faces calls to resign from his home state Republicans. He's under an ethics investigation here in the House. He removed himself from his own committee assignments while all of this is playing out. So he is definitely a but not able to fully participate in all of the workings in the House because he's removed himself from these committees. And he faces, as you mentioned, a number of local and beyond investigations. So I'm not quite sure what will happen with him, but he's here. He's coming to the State of the Union tomorrow night when the president gives his speech. So for now, he remains a member of Congress.
And what is one big thing, Lisa, you're watching for in that State of the Union address?
Oh, goodness. That also is always one to watch. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if President Biden does roll out any new initiatives. You know, this split Congress with Republicans controlling the House and Democrats controlling the Senate, that can be a time of bipartisanship, you know, deal making. Yet, you know, it's also up to the president. So we'll see if he rolls out any initiatives that could be sort of something that both sides could embrace, or does he use his time to really showcase the differences of the parties? You know, the Democrats have really pointed a lot to the Republicans as extremists, and we'll see if he kind of goes down that road, or does he try to, you know, provide an open hand to any deal making with this Congress?
Lisa, thanks again for joining us.
You bet, Rob. Thanks for having me.
That's Lisa Mascaro, Associated Press Chief Congressional Correspondent. She joined us today to talk about what's going on in Congress, including the latest news about the debt ceiling.